Going to kind of start a new series, but kind of catch up with some of the other stuff we've been talking about making space, about the anointing, about God, how God anoints us. But I want to take it in a little bit of different direction for the next few weeks. And my new series is called Church Realigned. Everybody say Church. Realigned. You know, sometimes you need to go see that old chiropractor and just get some things straightened back out, right? And you just kind of straighten. Sometimes there's things in your own life where you got to get straightened out, right? You need things to happen. You get out of alignment, and somebody needs to come along and align you back up, right? And straighten you back up. So we're going to talk about church realigned. And I want to ask this question. What if the church was exactly what He intended the church to be? What would that look like? And so for the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about that. And I said last week that this is a moment. I believe that churches in their history have moments. And I believe this is a moment for our church. This is a thing that I've been thinking about. I've been waiting for months to preach this message and to do this series. And so thank you for coming this morning, because let me just say, I want to be the church that Jesus wants us to be. What would it look like if Jesus were to walk in this room and say, this is what I've called Hope Church to be. This is what I've called the church worldwide to be. Because really those two things should be the same. Amen. But what does God have for us? So as a pastor, my responsibility is not for, Momentum Church, which is an awesome church. My responsibility is not for my friend down the street. As a pastor, this is my responsibility. So what does God have for Hope Church? What does God have for us as a body moving forward? We've been blessed over the last, this last year, we've seen some great growth. We've seen so many of you have just started coming, and you're fairly new to the church. I was up here, and I was thinking about Jessica and Craig. Jessica, amazing worship leader here, and Craig, our amazing classically trained piano, just extraordinaire, which I need to get you recorded, by the way. But they were here since the beginning. They've been here for the last 7 years, right at seven years. So we've seen a lot of growth. We've seen this building transform, right? We've seen a lot of stuff happen. But I believe that this is a moment where God says, this is something that I feel like above, every week I pray that God would give me a message for the church. This is a series I feel is significant for us as a body. And so I want to talk this morning, church realigned, the big deal. The big deal. What's the big deal? And how do we take that big deal and we work it in our everyday life as a body of believers? So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 22, and when I start going down this road, don't shut me down and go, of course. Let's open our ears to what God would have to speak to us this morning. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. This is what matters most. He says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees got together, one of them, an expert of the law, right? Super religious guy. Guy who knew Scripture, knew the law, understood all of the law that you so quickly read whenever you're reading through your Bible, right? Your Bible reading. He said, teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. love God, and love other people. Love God and love others. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in a little brief part of that scripture, he says in verse 1, he says, make love your aim. Make love your aim. If you're a target shooter in here, you know exactly what that looks like, right? This is not, you know, he's not talking shotgun style, where you just kind of shoot in a general area, right? It's not the lobbing a grenade, right? When he says make love your aim, there's a pinpoint dot that you're called to hit. Not around it. Even though if you hit around it, it's pretty good, right? He said, but there's a dot that the apostle Paul says that I want you to hit. And it's not the gifts. It's not any of the stuff that we would think it is. It's love. He says, make love your aim, your goal, your priority is love. It's the big deal to God. I can make the argument that it's the only deal with God. It's not our achievements. It's not your accomplishments. It's not my accomplishments. It's not your fame. It's not how much money you have. It's love. What mark on this earth of love did you leave for the kingdom? That is the number one thing that's on God's mind. Jesus said, you do those two things, you love God and love others, you don't even have to worry about all the other stuff. Make love your aim. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says this, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gifts of prophecy so I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, that I have faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I have nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. And then he goes on after that and says, love is patient, love is kind. It says, talks about all the characteristics of love. And then down in verse 12, he says, for now we only see a reflection as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face, talking about when we see Jesus. For I know in part, but then I shall fully be known. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians, the beginning of that chapter, he gives some pretty amazing statements. He said, if you don't have love, nothing I know will matter. You can have prophecy. You can have all the mysteries understood. You can be the greatest theologian of all time, right? You can be Mensa smart. You can understand quantum physics. You can understand all the mysteries of the world. But he said, if you have love, it means nothing. Nothing. He also says, nothing that you believe will matter if you don't have love. You got a faith strong to move mountains. But if you have not love, it's nothing. It's nothing. Then he says, nothing that you give will matter. Nothing that you give, that seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? If I give, how could, well, that should be the greatest show of love, right? It's not. Because you can give through all kinds of motives. You can give because you want people to know how much of a giver you are. Look at me, I funded this ministry. Look at me, I did this. Look at me, I gave all this money and now I get a bigger tax break. He says, nothing that you give will matter without the motivation of love. That's extraordinary. See, God has a way of getting down to our motives and getting down into the nitty-gritty of our lives. And He has a way of ripping off all the masks, all the things that look like good things, all the things that look all wonderful and great. And God has a way of hitting us right where we live and hitting us right at our motivations of our lives, right? He says nothing that you know will matter, nothing that you believe will matter, nothing that you give will matter. See, love to God is a big deal. It is the deal. Like He says, like the Scriptures teach us that love is, and I'm breezing through this because I want to get somewhere, but love is it's not optional. This is not one of those things, well, I'm just working, you know, it's one of those things on the side issue. If I get my finances straight, then I'll work on my love. Or if I get this all straight, then I'll work on my love. No. He says, make love your aim. They're number one. See, love is a command. It's not optional. It's not secondary. It's not an issue. Love is a command. We're commanded to love. And love is a choice. Listen, love is a choice. If it wasn't a choice, how could God command you to do it? If it was only based out of your feelings, if it was only based out of something that you feel, well, I feel love, so I'll give it away. But if I don't feel love, then I'm not going to give it away. God says it's a command. So if it's a command, it's also a choice. We choose to love because it's a command. It's a conduct. We've got C's going here. It's a command. It's a choice. It's a conduct. It's what you do. DC Talk back in the day had it right. Love is a verb. Yeah. All my Jesus freaks said amen. Yeah. Wow. Represent. It's a conduct. It's what you do. I've got the words like rolling around in my head. And the last C, it's a commitment. Love is a commitment. And some of us, you know that all too well. All you have to do is be a parent to know that it's a commitment. When that baby, you give birth, when your wife, I didn't give birth, my wife, when your wife gives birth, praise God, and all the men said amen. Woo! Man, oh my gosh. But when you have, when Rachel was born and you hold her, you went, wow, this is really great. This is a commitment. I got her for a minute, you know, like until she's, I don't know, these days, what, 33 or whatever. Just kidding. It's a commitment. Love is a commitment. Our faith, we talked about last week, your faith, listen, and what your faith should affect what you look, what you say, what you do, right? Our faith should be not just something that we just talk about. Our faith is something that should affect our lives. It should be the thing that makes a difference. It should be, I don't know about you, but I believe our world is looking for believers to play the part of a believer. What if, like I said, I don't know about all the other churches, but they're all great. I love our churches in this community. Like really, and that's not just say, I know a lot of these guys. They're awesome, awesome people. What if we made, at Hope Church, we made love our aim? The very thing that God said to make the most important thing? What if we made it the most important thing? What if we made it the most important thing? Man, listen to me. I'm all about the manifestation of God's presence. All about it. Please, understand me. I'm all about the gifts of the Spirit. We need some healings in this place. Amen? We need the gifts of the Spirit operating in our church. I'm all about it. But what if those were secondary to the first cause, that we all walked in love? And we loved each other and we loved others outside of our community of faith. You may be saying, and you're saying, you know what? I'm just not a real loving person. Just look straight ahead. Nobody can point you out. You're saying, I'm just not, you know what? I'm more of a prophetic gift, you know. I just say it like I mean it, right? I got other things to say about that. But anyway, but you say, you know what? I'm just not a loving type person. The life of love is not a natural walk. It's not natural. It's not produced by human strength. It's not produced. Listen. We're all selfish by nature. Come on. All my selfish friends, say amen. Amen. We're all selfish by nature. By nature, I want what I want. I don't want you to mess up my space. We're all that way. So love has to be something that comes outside of us. It has to be something that affects us and something that comes in us and moves us to action. Because I'm not moved. I'm moved by my couch and Netflix. Right? And whatever series I'm watching at the moment, or whatever documentary, that's me. Well, documentary I want to watch, right? But if left to ourselves, if left to yourself, you forget this whole love walk. Forget it. But that should be encouraging. Because if it's a command, there's also power to fulfill that love walk. There's an ability beyond you to fulfill that love walk. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I'm not reading any new scriptures to most of us. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You hear that? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Well, you can really wrap all those other things into that one word, love, right? I've heard people even teach that. That really, he says, the fruit, singular, is love. And it's bared out in these different ways. Interesting thought. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he says this in John chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for watch this, love comes from God. Everyone that loves has been born of God and knows God. Love comes from God. It doesn't come from yourself. It doesn't come from inside you. It doesn't come naturally for you. Love comes from God. It's God who gives you capacity to love. It's God that gives you capacity not to be selfish, to live a life outside of yourself and to live a life for others. It's God who gives you that power. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Peace, patience, kindness, right? But that's part of that's the fruit that should be produced in us. But it's the power of God in us. See, we've been reborn. We talked about it last week, that you're not just mind and flesh. You're spirit. You are a spirit that's been reborn. And your spirit and God's spirit are the connected, right? You're the conjunction, junction. What's your function? You guys are connected, right? You're connected. and your spirit and God's spirit flow, man. That's where the love of God. The love of God comes from the same place where faith comes. Faith is not of your mind. Faith is not of your flesh. Faith is of your spirit. Yes. Love is of your spirit. Right? Love. So I wanted to draw this diagram. God help me. I am not an artist. So, what does this look like? What does this look like for you? Oh, this is great. I kind of like this. What does this look like? I really feel like a teacher now. What does this look like for you and me, right? What does it look like? Right? So there's, oh my gosh, I really don't want to draw this. Can you draw it? You want to draw it? Okay, no, it's okay. No, it's okay. All right, so he said he was in school, so he raised his hand. So, all right. Oh my gosh. So here is, we're going to draw stick figures today. This is, who is this? Okay, they're not happy. They're sad. And then there's, that's not me. So she has hair, so she's a girl. Not everybody with long hair has a girl. I understand. It's 2019, I understand. So this is, who is this? This is Susan. Everybody say, hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Sad Susan. Sad Susan. Susan, listen, watch this. Susan is a single mom with a deadbeat ex-husband. It's 2019. Come on. She is sad because I drew her like that. Thanks. See, this is why I don't like to draw. I am who God says I am. God says I am not a good drawer. Okay, fine. Okay, so she's sad, right? She's sad. She's a single mom with a child. That's how old? She is... No, she's younger than that. She's 3 years old. She's three?
Sally.
Sad Sally. Single sad Sally. Single sad Susan. Who evidently needs to eat, by the way. Because she's a stick. She's skinny. Skinny, sad. Oh, no. Okay, wait. So sad Susan is a single mom with a sorry ex-husband who doesn't pay his child support. Okay? Who's stingy. Oh, my gosh. You guys, I'm going to be here until I finish this message. So now y'all going, shh, be quiet, quiet. So, and she's praying. She's saying, God, I don't know what to do. I have to work this job to support my daughter, but I can't pay for the child care and my job, because the child care, for some of us know, is just as much as my job. I can't pay for it. God, what am I going to do? I have to provide for my kid. So Sally, Susan, God's going to change her name here in a minute. So here's God. He's smiling, and he's got the glory all around him. I just made God. Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is God. So Susan prays to God. God, help. Hear that. I want you to hear that. I want you to feel that. Because it happens all over. Meanwhile, there's Gail.
Is Gail alive?
She, well, that's, what is she doing? She is happy. And Gail has short hair and a dress. Because anyway. Right. Just forget it. So listen. So this is Gail. Everyone say, hi, Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Gail is also praying. But here's what she's praying. She's praying what a lot of us pray. God, I just want to be used by you. God, I want to do what you've asked me to do. She has a husband that goes out, works. She has kids of her own that are middle school, high school, whatever. And she says, God, I want you to just use me. And she feels like she's not being used by God. She feels like she's hopeless and worthless. One day, Gail, going out like she always does, goes for a walk around the neighborhood. And guess who's walking with a stroller?
Sad Susan.
With a little Sally. And they talk. Because not only is Gail wanting to be used, but she's also listening and waiting. So she meets Susan. And Susan tells her story. And Susan goes home. Gail goes home and prays. And God says, I want you to do something for her. I want you to watch her kid during the day. But you don't know my routine, God. You don't know my life. I got my own kids. I don't have time for a little one.
Don't know me.
That kid may be crazy. He's a 3-year-old. He is crazy. That's just what they are. But Gail, listen. Gail obeys God. And all of a sudden, she goes back to Susan and says, Susan, I want to help. Because I was praying, God spoke to me, and I'm that person that God sent for you. Now, God answers prayer through Gail to Susan. The answer wasn't Gail. The answer was God. But he did it through her. See, love, it takes commitment. It takes strength. It takes energy. Change the scenario. Oh, there's the two here. So now, they look kind of the same. So here's Steve. Steve and Rob, right? Steve is with his wife at home, and their AC went out. I have no AC all summer. Georgia. It's hot. This last week, awful. Can we have more humidity? Thank you very much. Has no AC. They have a child. And Steve is feeling like a loser because he's supposed to be the breadwinner of the home. So his whole world is, he's feeling guilty. He's feeling the weight. So Steve prays and asks God. God, we just need my wife, you know. She's gracious. My kid, sweating. Not so gracious. So Steve prays. Well, it just so happens that Steve and Rob work together. And he just mentions it. Not one of those mentions it. Like, hey, you know, I don't have any hair. You know, maybe you could. You're rich. You can do. You know, not one of those, right? Just mentions it. God speaks to Rob. And Rob, on the way home, stops and buys a window unit for Steve so they can be cool in their home until they can get money to fix their AC. You say, wow, that's amazing. Well, that happened just this week. Just somebody in our church. All of a sudden, where did the answer come from? God, through Rob to Steve. See, we are. It's us. Julie and I, will you just give me some minutes? Julie's mom, phenomenal woman. Did they have the perfect home growing up? No. Was it chaotic at times? Yeah. But you know what Julie's mom modeled for her? That. She had a friend that they knew, right? It was her brother's friend. Their dad was...
The dad murdered the mom.
Oh my goodness. You know what Julie's mom did? She took that her brother's friend, kind of in, helped him, walked him through it. Can you imagine? Walked him through it. Was there for him. Talked to him, ministered to him, brought him in. They had dinner together. They brought him over and had food and all that. Because you know what? That's what love does. That's what love does. So Julie brings that into us, you know, our marriage. And honestly, I learned it from her, who learned it from her mom. And we've had people, we've had kids live at our home for extended long periods of time. We had a brother and sister come and live in our home for years. We had the daughter come when we were in a little bitty three-bedroom house that we could probably almost fit the whole house in this room. Actually, you probably could now that I look at it. She shared a room with our daughter. How, like, you're talking about living on top of each other. And then you know what happened? God blessed us, and we got the biggest house we'd ever get. We went from a three-bedroom to a five-bedroom house because of why? God's provision. Because of why? I believe that God saw us faithful. He said, oh, if I can get the money to David and Julie, I can get it through David and Julie. One of them's on the mission field now, and one of them has a great job, and she's doing phenomenal. And they come over at Christmas because we're their parents. You know, it's like you go, what sacrifice? Are you kidding me? It's a joy. It wasn't that way at first, because I was like, we're going to do what? We're going to disrupt my home? But one day I was praying, and God said, bring them in. Yeah. And all of a sudden, their prayer to God was answered because they were in a terrible, terrible place. Vicky, come here. I want you quickly to tell that story that you...
posted on Facebook?
You cowardly posted on Facebook, and now we're going to openly tell everybody. Tell them what happened just, yesterday.
Okay, so in June we moved into an apartment that was like, it was the most difficult thing to get into, and because of how difficult it was to get into, we were like, okay, God, why are we here? And all summer, they've had a lot of people moving in and out of the different apartments around because they're trying to make it a better atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So a family moved in upstairs. A lady, she has a 5-year-old boy, a 3-year-old girl, and a baby. I have a 5-year-old boy, a 2-year-old girl, and a baby. On Thursday afternoon, we had a leak in our daughter's bedroom, like covering that much space of her room.
Oh my gosh.
So we called maintenance. We're like, we have a soggy floor, and we don't know where this water is coming from. So they came and they looked at it, and it took all of Friday. All of Friday. He was there probably from like 2 in the afternoon. No, before that. Before that till like 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night. And the maintenance man is married to the apartment manager's, the property manager. And she came in that morning with the guy who was coming to find where the leak was. And I had worship music playing and my Hope Again t-shirt on.
Come on, man.
And she's like, oh, I love Kim Walker. Come on, I love that. And then walks out and I'm like, okay, whatever. And then she came back later in the day and she's like, she saw my t-shirt. She commented on my t-shirt. She's like, that's so encouraging. And then later that night when the maintenance guy actually left, they had their kids with them and they were leaving at like 9:30. It was dark. And she stops at the stairs and she's like, I just want to tell you that shirt, I've been fasting for like the whole week. And that was confirmation from God because I don't want to do this job. And I've spent 3 years in ministry and I wanted to go back to that and I don't want to be here, but that was confirmation from God for me to do this job. And the lady upstairs above you, she's having a really hard time. She's in like an awful, awful situation. And this is, I've been feeling all summer that I should talk to the lady upstairs and I haven't because I've got totally pointless excuses. But her saying that to me realizing that just me putting on a t-shirt that morning, I'm not going anywhere, so I wasn't thinking about what I was going to wear. Mm-hmm. I just threw on a t-shirt. Was like a life-changing moment for her. And then her responding to me, telling me that I should talk to the lady upstairs, was a God-confirming moment for me. So I walk in the apartment, and Jeremy was standing there for the whole conversation. I'm like, what just happened? Because in that 5-minute conversation, the both of us realized the whole reason that we were there, to do a community events, because she had mentioned something about that, to be a part of the community, to turn the community around, because it was like, there's kids running around all the time. No parents with them, just kids running around everywhere. And to encourage not only the property manager and the community, but to connect with the people that moved in above us. So, yeah.
Awesome, awesome, yeah. So if somebody could come and take this away so you don't have to look at that anymore. Thank you, Tyrone. So I'm like, yeah, no, we're not. So my question is, what are we doing? You know where we need the church aligned, realigned, is in this area right here. Listen, I know God is a provider of all my needs. I know that God is my defender. I know that God is my shield. He's everything that Julie was talking about earlier. And He's that for me. Absolutely. That's not enough. Because what am I to others? What am I to my neighbor? Now, I'm not asking you to go and find the next person who needs a place to stay and just invite them into your home. That is between you and the Lord. Remember all those things? All those ills, if you will, of our society? We talked about how that we can't fix them. You can't fix human trafficking. You cannot fix human trafficking. But I can fix somebody who needs to come for me to come and live in our home. Because we live godly in our home. We honor Jesus in our home. Our home is a refuge for people to be able to come in. You know, like, What if your marriage was more than just so that you guys can be happy? What if your marriage was an example? And all of Julie's mom's chaos in their home with an alcoholic father, her mom found time to reach out. And her mom, if you know her mom, you know you have not met, you are not a stranger. She has never met a stranger. It's annoying going anywhere with her mom because she would talk forever to everybody. But I love it. I love it. And you know what? It's rubbed off on me. It's rubbed off on me. There's so much life as if when you give it away. What is God asking you to do outside of your own prosperity? Outside of your own being blessed? God told Abraham, I'll bless you so that you can be a blessing. And it's so fulfilling. Is it hard? Yeah. Do you have bad days? Awful days. But I don't look at my individual days. I look back and I go, wow, we helped that 18-year-old girl learn how to drive. We got her a driver's license. We helped her get a job. We helped her go back to school. Because if we hadn't, she'd be going nowhere. We helped her get a car. And then about a year ago, she came and she asked us to go with her so she could buy her own really nice car. And you just feel like, what else is there to live for? What else is there to live for? A bigger boat? You can have it. More recreation? Great, everybody loves recreation, but that's not what I live for. I live for others. And it's amazing when you live for others, the life of God. Sometimes I wonder when some of us, I feel dry. It's because maybe we're not giving out. There's so many of you in this room. Somebody was praying at some point. Said, God, I want community. I need friends. I need people that I can relate to. People of like faith. The Monroes opened their home up to have a small group. What is it? Somebody prayed. Somebody heard from God, and God answered that person's prayer. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Tony last week reminded me of a Matthew West song, and I want to read some of the words. Thank you, Tony. Here's the beginnings of this word. He said this song. It says, I woke up this morning and saw a world full of trouble. How did it ever get so far down? And how is it going to turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven and I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. Then that thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? And he said, I did. I created you. And let me add something to that song. And he added how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. You and I are Jesus here on the earth because God has poured out his Spirit on us. Why, God, why don't you do something? I did. I created you and anointed you to do something, to go about and do good and heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. Whatever that looks like. Sometimes I feel like we brush over that do good, right? What do you do when you feed children to present the gospel? Whether if it's in Malawi or if it's in Honduras. To do something. I want us to get it. Listen. The answer for the world's problems is not a new president. It's not a new government. It's not new laws. It's the church of Jesus anointed by the Holy Spirit to go about and do good and heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. To solve it all? No. To solve the one in front of you. the person in front of you, what can I do to help? God, what is my role? Oh, God, that's really big. That's going to really mess up my life. That's really going to disturb all the stuff I got going on. God says, do it, do it, do it. Because later on in a song, he says, if not us, then who? Then who? 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 Other religions? Do-gooders? If not us, then who? If not me and you, if not now, then when? It's not enough to do nothing. It's not acceptable to do nothing. How many times has God answered prayer through other people for your life? What if Hope Church was that people? Like I said, I'm not responsible for every other Christian. But what if God has called us to be individuals to do something? To do something. You're like, well, my life is not perfect. Welcome to the church, that you're fully welcome to be not perfect. Julie and I are not perfect. I mean, no. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. You understand? We fight. Julie and I fight. She gets mad at me. I do things that I shouldn't do. Julie does things. I mean, shocking. Right? We're not the perfect family. But what we don't live our lives for ourselves and our stuff. We live for the kingdom. God, would you use me? Do we really mean it? Because God may ask you to sacrifice some things. Remember, love is a command, and it's also a choice. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? What can you do? It may be small. Maybe small, what you would think small in your own eyes. But God says, man, that's exactly what that person needed to hear at that moment. Just because you obeyed me and you spoke that word of encouragement that Sunday morning. You spoke that word of encouragement to your neighbor. You mentioned that you belong to a healthy, you mentioned that you were a believer and how God has affected your life. You just mentioned it to somebody. And God said, that's all I wanted you to do in that moment. Like I said, I'm not asking you to change the world. I'm asking us, do we want to obey God and do something? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Don't you want to be a part? Like, I don't know if it's because, you know, so I turned 50 this year. I don't know if it's because as I'm growing older, you just go, wow, it's tick, 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 tick. You're like, Oh, this thing's not lasting forever. There's going to be an end to this whole life on earth. I want to do something for God that'll last. I want to do something for God that I can be God's. Like, this is the way God designed it. Jesus was here and he says, man, let me tell you, it's better that I go away. Because what I'm about to do is going to blow everybody's mind. See, the devil thought there was a problem with just one Jesus. He didn't realize that if you kill the one, God's going to send his spirit and empower a multitude of people, a multitude of Christ-like, Holy Ghost-filled do-gooders, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil, because the power of God is inside of you. And they love not their own life unto death, but they gave their lives. for others. And they gave their lives so that God used me to affect somebody else. Let me tell you something. If you've never, I don't know where we're out at this morning, but I'm telling you, I would not trade it for the world, the life I'm living and have lived. When I worked 60 hours a week at a job that I hated for years. Let's all stand together. God, I want to do something. I wanted to kick off this message before we even do our lake day next week. Come on, just you and him. Just you and him. God, I want to do something. I want to do something significant with my life, God. The question is, there was a time in my life where I was not willing. It was all about me and my life and my comfort, my wife and my kids, all great. And then God started tapping me on the shoulder about things. And things started dropping off my list of things that I did. I wouldn't change it for the world. Living a life to be the hands and feet of Jesus is the most exciting. You'll see God move more than you ever saw in your life when you do that. You'll get the joy of watching God use you and to help bring freedom or encouragement or just a position. You say, God, I don't know what to do. That's why you pray. You say, God, put somebody across my path. If that's you in here, as we do this song, this is such a, I'm telling you, this is a moment in time for our church. I don't want to do church as usual anymore. I'm tired of it. Tired of the only person that's anointed we look at is the pastor, and he's anointed. It's a lie. It's a lie. If that's you in this place, as they do this song, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Not as a sign of I'm coming forward to Pastor David, or as a sign, kind of a stake in the ground. You're driving I used to hear some guys say, it's like a spiritual stake you're driving in the ground. And say, you know what, today I want to be different. There's some selfishness in my life that needs to go. And I don't want to live that life anymore. If that's you, as they do this song, I want you to come. Maybe you want to come up here and kneel at the altar, at the up at the front. Maybe you want to stand. I'd love to pray with you. But it's not enough to do nothing anymore. If that's you, as they sing, just come on down.